Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Many of us over the years have attended various conferences and events for work, whether they're in-house, off-site events or larger gatherings of hundreds of businesses and industry professionals. But what separates a good conference from a bad one? What's the best way to organise one so that the attendees get the most out of it? Delighted to be joined by professional, public and motivational speaker Endo O'Doherty. Also joining me is the founder of the Pendulum Summit, Mr. Frankie Sheehan. Good morning to you, gents. And I'll start with you. I suppose conferences are held for a number of reasons. So let's start with the why. Maybe why am I having this conference and what do I hope to achieve out of it? I feel that many conferences don't start with that basic, why are we doing this?
I had the same question in my head, Bobby, 30 seconds ago, sitting outside the studio. Why am I putting myself through the torture of live radio again? Look, coming in here for me always reminds me of doing my Leaving Cert. I walk at the oral particularly. You know when you walk out of the Irish Oval and you go, what did I say? Did she understand? Did I get any marks at all? So to alleviate my fear and to help that question that you asked about value, if you go to my website, endoodoherty.ie, for the last 2 weeks, I have written the most beautiful how to organise a conference. And 99 things that we won't talk about today are there for your listeners. So if you're looking for blank templates or, you know, the area of value, how do you address value? The why.
Yeah.
The why is... like it's
And the why can be different for different reasons. So, you know, I run a large organisation.
Yeah.
I want to hold a conference and get all my employees together.
Yeah.
I'm an industry of specialty. So I want to bring industry grades from retail or whatever it is together and give them an experience.
Yeah. I think sometimes in business and life, people miss, you know, the simplest things. We don't have clarity. Like if I said to you, why did you get dressed this morning? You'd say it was a bit nippy or I didn't want to get arrested or, you know, I wanted to look fashionable. And for people listening, it's a fantastic shirt. But clarity on your why, you know, some of the poorest conferences I go to are where the CEO has said, right, 5th of January, we need to have the rollout, bring everybody in. We'll stick them in a hotel. We'll have a big bowl of mints, not mince, a mince meat, as in minty mints. And people will endlessly eat mints for 3 hours, wish it was over and go home, and they get nothing from it. So the clarity, like as you say, are we talking about dealing with redundancies? Are we talking about innovation, AI? Are we talking about the mental health, which is my area, resilience of our staff? Are we actively pursuing something to help them? Clarity on your why is your starting point. For lots of organisers, it's the hotel or, you know, it's the speaker or it's the mic. And they forget, you know, the absolute nuts and bolts of this. What are we doing here today? And measurably, what do we want to do after it? Now, the other thing with the why is sometimes a conference, you know, is, you know, if you go up to a delegate at a conference 2 weeks after it and say, what was the name of the guy that we had at 11 o'clock? And they'll say, oh God, the guy with the kangaroo theory or the guy with the chicken wings. Oh God, what's his name? They have no idea. It has no impact on them. So I think that probably comes about because there wasn't clarity on the why.
Let's bring in Frankie Sheehan. How are you, Frankie? Founder of the Pendulum Summit. Frankie, you're very welcome to the programme. How are you?
Always good to be on, Bobby. Thanks very much. And of course, the secret to having a good conference is having Endo O'Doherty as your keynote speaker to start with.
I always loved you.
And if it happens to be the Pendulum Summit or up close with Oprah, sure, that's all very close and welcome as well. But just to go back, I suppose, why do people organise conferences? You obviously have the different types. You'll have the trade show types, right? Those type of expos, the Web Summit, for example, right? Then you'd have your kind of associations and the kind of academic congresses, you know, for the CPD, right? They're the ones that are kind of mandatory, whether you're like an insurance professional or financial services, that you have to go to these conferences, right?
Which then they must be tough because some people don't want to be there.
Oh, yeah. Some people, I'd say the majority of people don't want to be there. They're trying to get the online versions and all this side of things, right? So that's a big challenge, but they have to be there because they need to get their hours, right? And then, of course, you have your industry events. So, like, you know, your Dells or your Apples will have their annual ones, big, huge conferences and stuff like that, and they'll invite their partners. You'll have your thought leadership kind of commercial ones, and then you'll have your kind of little bespoke events that invitee only and, you know, 200 or 300 different types of things like that, right? So there's the reality is anybody can organize an event, and everyone does organize events, whether it's a birthday party when they're young or whatever, you know what I mean? So anybody can organize an event, but to make it a good, positive, energetic and worthwhile event is the key, right? And the key, as we know today, and Enda will tell you this, and Bobby, you know it from the people you deal with, the scarcest resource of all now is time, right?
Yeah.
Nobody has time for these long, drawn-out things. They want impact, right? Everything is quick, it's fast, everything, they want it fast, right? So it's key, I suppose, to have a positive impact, and this is where a lot of people get it wrong. Number one is obviously having a very good, impactful MC to kick things off, and a speaker, right? And the speakers, right? They don't have to be big names, but once they're thought-provoking and they're good and they're challenging and they're kind of impactful, right? We all know these industry speakers who go on, last year Ireland did it, this year what we're hoping to do, and it's like slide after slide. My God, it's putting you to sleep. Obviously, then you've the venue. I mean, if you've a kind of a little hotel room there, something that's not done up and it's kind of the poor quality of sound and all that side of things, right? And then, of course, the attendees. I mean, if you have good, heavy-hitting kind of attendees for what you're looking for, that's really important as well, obviously.
Yeah, so you fill the room. If you can fill the room, you're off to a good start, I'd suggest. Like, immediately if you go into a half-empty room or a room that's too big for the audience, you're fighting an uphill battle, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, you might add, you know, like say, we're very lucky in this country to have the convention centre, right? It's absolutely world class, right? And, you know, to use the AV and use screens and use all the technology that to make it really energetic and create that highly charged environment, right? And it's hard to do first thing in the morning. People are coming up, it's raining outside, and they're after dropping the kids, and they're what am I bloody doing to this place? And to actually get that, that's the real challenge of a conference organizer, to really get that hospitality, get that welcoming, and get them into the zone straight away.
Yeah, and we talked earlier about the why, but another question one should probably ask, regardless of the type of conference that you're having, is what's the takeaway? What do we want? What do we want people to feel or do after attending this?
Well, there's two words I picked out there. I think that Bobby used: value and energy. I won't say who I'll be in trouble now. We'll end up with all litigation. But I recently saw at a conference a speaker, and he got up and he said, "It gives me great pleasure to be here." And I was sitting in the front row and I was thinking, God, your face doesn't know it. There was no pleasure. Do you know, he was flat as a pancake.
Yeah.
And then he proceeded to read PowerPoint like everyone in the room couldn't read. And I could actually see people physically sliding off their seats.
But isn't it really curious in this day and age that people still make those fundamental mistakes that you would have said, why, like, you know, if you spoke to somebody or you sought counsel from someone to go in and read off a PowerPoint, or bore people with slides, or overly focus on the technology rather than what the content is.
Yeah.
Well, you see it all the time.
My average corporate gig would say be an hour and 10 minutes. And I have one sentence over 65 slides. So it's me. It's not, I'm not reading it. And in terms of value, you know, I did a sales call there with a company the other day, and they were trying to decide whether they'd go with it or not. And they were asking value. And I said, you get your presentation. I do a second digital presentation that I send you. They said, what's that on? I said, the issue you have in 6 months' time, come back to me and I'll send you that. You get a book. And now I've upscaled again. The conference gets an app where everybody fills in, this app uses it, and they get a bespoke report on their resilience and their mental health and steps they could do. And the woman on the call, Bob, she looked at me, she went, are you serious? And I said, yeah. I said, we were talking there off air about growing up in a supermarket, you know, and the upbringing that I had. And I said, you have to give people value for money. People have to go, wow, that was top quality, you know, because I think, like, for me, my advertising budget is zero every year, because I really treat every conference like it's my first and my last. I want somebody to come out and say, bloody hell, your man from Waterford was just, that was class.
And therein the power of word of mouth, again, for getting the next gig or whatever it might be. Frankie, you're interviewing Oprah in Dublin next month, which is, I'll ask you a bit about that a bit later on. But, you know, your Pendulum Summit is a business, and it's a business that you've had for a number of years, and making sure that people come back the next year is obviously pivotal to what you do. So, like, you've got real skin in the game, and when you're looking at the costs of bringing in all these international speakers versus you know, it's selling the tickets for Pendulum. Like, I'm sure you do the maths on it, and you have some sleepless nights, do you?
Oh my God, absolutely. It's electrifying and terrifying at the same time. I mean, you've seen the people we've had. Actually, you interviewed Steve Wozniak for us before.
That's absolutely right.
Amazing. What a speaker he was. And, you know, that's the commitment we're giving to people. We're, you know, the world's number one business and leadership event. And we don't say that lightly. I mean, we bring in the best. And that the time for people to go, that we value that time dearly. And we make sure that the impact that they have, what I would often challenge the speakers with, I would say to them, right, you have 45 minutes, right, to go up on stage. And if you were on your deathbed, what would those words be in the particular topic you're talking about to your family members, right? And they were like, what do you mean? That's it. We want everything, you know. We don't want a long, drawn-out thing. Yeah. These people are the busiest people in their companies and organizations. Give it to us fast. Give us the best bits, you know. And you know, very often they do that. But echoing what Enda said there, I mean, the speaker and the energy from the speaker and selecting them right is really important. You remember a few years ago we had Richard Branson, and, you know, he's just such a big figure and all that. But the guy who stole the show that time was a fella called Jack Daly. Do you remember Jack Daly?
Yeah, I do.
He was absolutely outstanding. He's been on the program, I'm sure, with you as well. And his energy, he was probably our least expensive speaker, actually. And he blew everyone away. Everyone went away talking about Jack Daly, right? And that's the type of thing. So, I mean, then you have to manage the speaker. One day there we had John Cleese arrived in, and he arrived at the Marker Hotel, and he sat down in that kind of time between breakfast and lunch. And of course, he sat down in a place where they were cleaning up the breakfast. He said, sorry, sir, you can't have your breakfast here. And he threw the toys out of the pram, right? And he stormed out of the hotel. Charlie Sheel, who was the manager at the time, rang me and said, Frankie, we've a problem here. There was a search party out for about 3 or 4 hours looking for John Cleese, right? And eventually they found him, and they eventually, and we kind of
talked him down. Good man, yeah, Frankie. Maybe last quick word to you, and what about the other things, the more subtle things, the coffee break, the networking, all those things that, you know, that are high on lots of people's agendas, getting those things right.
Yeah, the human bits, human, being a person. What makes us human is our humanity. And sometimes we pack too much into the agenda for the conference. Or maybe sometimes it might be a sin to say it, but the CEO gets too much time and there's a bit of worship as he tells us his great journey, which we've heard 5 times, instead of cutting it down to his 5 minutes, you know.
Yeah.
The coffee break, the toilet breaks, you know. I tell every organizer, you know, when you have a finishing time, intentionally trim it. Find something. People have lives. They have kids to pick up from school. They have traffic they're trying to avoid. Being cognizant of the human side of things. You know, I jokingly say to people, look, if I'm going to speak at your conference, you'll have people crying. And they go, oh my God. I said, they'll cry laughing and they'll cry with emotion, but it'll be impact, right? And it's the same thrust.
All right.
Reach the humans.
We'll have to leave it there. Frankie, when is Oprah coming? Just remind us.
Yeah, September the 14th. It's going to be an absolutely
good man.
Entertaining, captivating and inspiring. We'd love to see you all there.
All right, Frankie, thanks for joining us. Also, thank you to Enda O'Doherty, motivational speaker, and Frankie Sheehan there, the founder of the Pendulum Summit.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr. Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.